Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I wonder why it's like...
One second. I would like to do something.
It's on speaker for some reason.
Okay.
For some reason, it's on speaker. I don't want that echo.
One second.
Am I echoing? Am I echoing?
No.
I'm just testing it out right now.
It is working perfectly fine. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. All right, so how are you doing today?
Doing great. How about you?
Doing well. So we're going to topics, but mainly we're going to be discussing the NBA. This is the first episode of the Opposing Viewpoints podcast. Today here again. Me is Tal Hanavid, a guy who is well spoken. His favorite team is the Lakers, who are known as the Fakers in my mind. Let's see what he thinks about the landscape of the NBA after the Raptors recently won the championship.
So what's my viewpoint of the teams? Well, simply, I think the NBA is wide open. Any team has a chance to win. This AD trade was a blockbuster for New Orleans and LA, so LA has a very good chance of landing some players. Unfortunately, right now they cannot sign anybody on a max deal, unfortunately, because they have to do the deal will be set by July 6th, but by July 30th they'd be able to get that $9 million going cap space, which they don't have.
Okay. So, what do you think about this whole Anthony Davis deal? Like, who comes out on top overall?
I think both teams won the trade.
So how do you? What makes you think that exactly? What part of this trade is particularly about the Lonzo factor? You know, Lonzo was promised a good amount of time to develop, but he seems to just be out of the picture now totally. Even though he was picked by the organization, he was kind of given this. Image of, the next Kobe or the next, great player on the Lakers besides LeBron. He even appeared in, like, one of LeBron's, TV shows. So, like, where's the turn going from here? Why did they trade someone else? Or do you think this is just because New Orleans handled the situation?
Yes, we have LeBron James, and for us to win a championship, you need to give up younger players. For example, if you had kept this team that was intact, this team would not be able to go past the Western Conference Finals simply because we do not have the talent that is built. Lonzo will be a star in the future, but as of right now, he's not. He's not a star. He shoots below. His free throw percentage is about 44%, which is pathetic for a point guard. And he is a 32% three-pointer, which is horrible. And, you can't really work for that. And this is what I'll say, right? For the Pelicans, this was a great deal simply because they got three good players. They got a guy named Tom. They got a promising talent, Brandon Ingram, and they got Lonzo, and they got number one overall pick Zion Williamson. And Zion Williamson himself is as hyped as LeBron was coming out of high school. That is not an understatement. People have so much expectations for him when he enters the league, and that's what I see. And, New Orleans is an overall team. 4 to 3 years from now, they will be a deadly team to be feared, I believe.
Now, could this be a moment where, in hindsight, it's 2020. We get to a point in the future where Lonzo and Ingram are so great and LeBron's already retired. Anthony Davis is on the way out. Then the Lakers end up regretting not keeping those two players there who had we had a possible chance.
The thing is that the regrets
turned into superstars. Yes, in the short term, LeBron and Anthony Davis, who seems to be injury prone, seems to be the better choice. But if Anthony Davis is injury prone and LeBron is, probably has a good 3 to 4 years left in the max, if Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram turn out to be, what their draft, originally picked them to be, superstars.
All-star superstars.
Yeah. If they are able to do that, it's a vast improvement.
The thing is, I agree with you with the Lakers.
When
we landed LeBron James, that's when I knew that they needed to make a move for another superstar. Anthony Davis is not injury prone. This year, his year was off and on this year simply because he wanted to trade out from.
The whole point is what I'm trying to say is, in the short term, yeah, that it's a better choice. But like I'm talking about like 10 years, right? I'm talking about like franchise players.
10 years from now.
If you look at Lonzo Ball's age, right, he's 21 years old right now.
Yeah, I have a question for you.
He's extremely young. It's definitely not – he's going to be the face for the next 4 or 5 years at the most. But after that, he's going to retire.
No, he might stay in the league a little bit longer.
We'll see. You know, you can't predict injuries. You can't predict the future. That's for all. But what you can look at is – you know, the age that players tend to retire at. And for Michael Jordan, it was 40. For Kobe, it was, you know, a little bit earlier than that due to the Achilles injury. So what we can see is that based off of what players did in the past, yeah, could he pull something different? But you can't.
The thing is, I want to ask you a question.
Never happened, right?
Yes, I agree. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think Lonzo will be better than LeBron or be on the same level as LeBron in 10 years from now?
You can't compare anyone to LeBron. What I am saying is.
No, I'm talking about skill wise, and I'm not talking about like comparing them.
Skill wise, you can't really compare them skill wise. Their skill sets are like different, right?
No, they're pretty, similar.
They're similar in terms of like. Point guard skill, but not in terms of overall skill, because LeBron can, you know, overall control the pace of the game. In spurts, but he was still learning how to control the game, right? Whereas LeBron is, you know, already learned everything. Lonzo's very young, he's 21. It takes young players at least, you know, a couple of years to get it down. This was only his second year. So, like, it is kind of, in fact, not giving him enough time. But at the same time, you have to realize that Anthony Davis has to be, you know, taken with the Lakers for that short-term success.
Yes, Anthony Davis plans to re-sign also.
Yeah. Davis, you know, stays healthy, then none of this is a factor, right? But this is all under the presumption of, if you know, if we're looking at AD's history, right, he's injury-prone, so, like, If that you know, historical pattern continues and he does have another injury in the future, hopefully he doesn't, right? But we're looking at historical trends and he does seem to be injury prone, then that could be an issue because that tends to, you know, shorten players' careers. But that's the only negative to it. But I doubt that the Lakers care because that – if they win a championship or two, none of it really matters, right? Because at the end of the day, that's already the legacy cemented for that two-year team, you know, if they would say they win 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do still think that the Lakers let's shift the conversation over a little. I definitely do think that the Lakers need a third player. So who do you think they should be targeting?
They can't target a third player.
Well, what are their options?
So let me explain, right? All right, so this is their option, right? So they have 20 – okay, so Anthony Davis has a $4 million bonus trade. So when he gets traded, he basically gets $4 million right off the bat from the team that gets him. So the cap space is $27 million, now it's $23 million, right? So you go from that. So July 6th is when the deal will be officially done for Anthony Davis. So, like, it'll be a done deal. Everything will be transactioned. Everything will be straight. No pulling out of the deal. They will be in cap space for – they only had $23 million in cap space. But if the Lakers can somehow push New Orleans to doing the deal by July 30th, the Lakers can get one slot for max free agents. So, my thing is right now with the Lakers, what they need to do is I doubt that the Pelicans will wait till July 30th to let us get $9 more million in cap space. So what the Lakers need to do is they're not trying to get a max player. They can either try to do a 2 to 3 year deal with Kyrie Irving possibly or Kemba Walker, or they can sign a bunch of role players like J.J. Redick or get Rajon Rondo for a 1 year deal, veterans deal. Because when the Lakers won a championship in 2010, they had all these one year deals on their team, and it worked because we won the championship. The doubt goes to win the championship. Toronto took a huge gamble this year by getting Kawhi Leonard, paid off. They won a championship, although injuries were a factor, were a huge factor for Golden State's perspective, but that's not the point. The point is, LA needs to get good shooters around their team. Last year, the Lakers were one of the worst shooting teams, 3-point perimeter shooting teams in the league. Could not score the ball when it came down to shooting the three. Horrible team, horrible offense, no defense. Defense needs to improve. We'll see what Frank Vogel does this year. You know, he's an improvement, in my opinion. Luke Walton, he wasn't that great. He would never, like, when Lonzo was playing, he would take him out for, like, 5 minutes, and then he would take him out for 15, like, for, like, a whole quarter, and then put him in for 5 minutes and then take him out. And you know how players are. You know, you get into
Well, he didn't them. Want well, – so the whole reason he did that is because he didn't want to show a bias towards a certain player, right?
No, but Lonzo is a number two overall pick. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know.
Bias. You need to play players but like
he,
to develop.
He was trying – what he was trying to do is trying to, you know, win over the locker room, right? Because if you show any type of favoritism, because if you understand from his perspective, right?
Like, no, there's no favoritism. There's no need to.
No, because like if players played as bad as him, if players like there's certain times where he played so bad, where if any other player would have played like that, they would have been benched, right? But since he's
Lonzo,
he got the benefit of the doubt, which is fine, right?
Lonzo is. He had bad shooting performances. He wasn't bad on defense. He wasn't bad on offense.
Yeah, I know, but here's a fun fact for you. At the end of the day, in the NBA, most of the times they care about scoring, so that's the main thing, you know.
Yeah, but when Lonzo was off the floor, the Lakers were -32 overall the whole season without him and LeBron.
I know, but that's like you'd have to like go in and dive into every statistic one by one, right? You can't just make every single assumption without having like every single statistic, you know, looked at, because like in one statistical category, Lonzo might be like a huge benefit to the team, but like
no, but the plus and minus, the plus and minus,
yeah, the way the plus and the minus works out, yeah, I know
it's an overall viewpoint of the game, because when you take out, you see how your team is playing, right? For example, Russell Westbrook in 2017, mm-hmm. right? They were a plus 45 with him on the court. They were a -37 without him in the court. Obviously, there's factors as in like. Players can't get
the rhythm. Sometimes it can be like a little over exaggerated, because sometimes players could be playing for stats, and that can be over inflating your plus or minus, right? That's why sometimes people tend to like judge based off of how that player played the game by just like viewing the player's, you know, play style in general and how it impacted the overall, you know, flow of the game, right? Or so, like, you know, if LeBron's on the court and he's dominating defensively, you can tell from, you know, the start of the game that he's just locked in and no one's gonna like get by him. And if they are, he's gonna, they're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I agree. But what the Lakers should do is sign like good role players. That's what they need to do. Get a Kyle Korver, get a Rondo.
Yeah, they need to get like Andre Blatch in there.
Yeah, Andre Blatch, he's not that good.
Maybe like make JaVale McGee the starting center. Now,
yeah, right? I think JaVale McGee, because Anthony Davis has pointed out multiple times in the past saying he does not
like. And then how's that whole Kyrie thing going to go, right?
Yeah, let me talk. But like, I'm what I'm trying to tell you is that, you know, we'll see JaVale McGee, what's going to happen with him. And I think they're going to re-sign him for a 1 year deal. And yeah, well, the deal with the Kyrie situation right now is he ended his deal with his agent. I don't know what he did exactly. I think he left him. He signed with another sports company called Rock Sports Nation, which is basically an agent company in Brooklyn, right? So I don't think that Kyrie. It's a pretty good chance that Kyrie will get a max deal dollars from Brooklyn. That's how I think he's going, Brooklyn.
But Brooklyn's like not a good choice for me, you think, right?
Because, yeah, but isn't
D'Angelo Russell there?
D'Angelo Russell is a restricted free agent. They have power over him. Plus, he can leave if they get Kyrie Irving. They are letting him go.
Don't you think that would be setting D'Angelo Russell back because he had a lot of growth this year?
Yeah, but it's a business scene of the day. It's not about what they care. It's not about personal feelings.
So that's like. Kyrie wouldn't even go into a situation like that, right?
No, but Kyrie is...
He would want to go into a situation where there's no dispute at all, right? Over who has the starting role, right?
Yeah, but there's
or do you think he would play shooting guard? You're saying that you know they would trade off.
No. D'Angelo Russell will be gone if Kyrie Irving signs. He's not being on the team anymore. Okay. Kyrie Irving's percentages are going to the Brooklyn Nets is about 80-20, so there's an 80% chance he's signing there.
Okay. So you're Tahan Navid, NBA expert, confirming that the Kyrie Irving is going to sign with the Brooklyn Nets 100%.
No, 80-20.
Well, okay, so where are your percentages coming from?
My percentages?
Yeah, so what makes you say what's the data that backs up your 80%?
That's just my personal opinion.
Okay, so you just made the percentage up.
Yeah, 20%.
It could be like 1% to 99%, or it could be.
Yeah, because that's not 99%
to 1%.
Because Kyrie's a very different dude, you know. Let me, for example,
it varies, right? Because you don't have the actual like data.
Right, he could head back to Boston, or he can go to LA, or he's going to Brooklyn. New York Knicks are not a thing anymore. Hey, Kevin Durant's
could be like 10% chance he wants to go to Minnesota. So you're saying like the way the contracts are structured. The Nets are gonna basically send him to like a different state.
What do you mean?
The Nets are gonna send D'Angelo Russell to like.
No, yeah, I think
to a different team.
Yeah, D'Angelo Russell. No. He will become a free agent, and he will have his own decision.
Okay.
So that will be his own decision.
But is D'Angelo's contract running out? Is that why?
No, he was on he had one more year. He had his 1 year deal left. Remember, you remember how
I wasn't trying to get anything for him, right? Because he's a good player.
Well, I think this was his last year.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're confusing me because I thought you said that he had one more
year. No, he was on I called him restricted free agent. Yeah, so he's a free agent.
Yeah, I see. I'm looking at a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a 4 year contract for $23 million.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
So all right, so we went over the Lakers. Like, what are your teams to look at for 2019-2020?
It's difficult to say.
As we close out on the NBA season,
it's off season now since the finals are over. Mm-hmm. Well, the prediction, it's very difficult because we don't know how the league is going to be shaping up in 2 to 3 months. You can't tell. Free agency hasn't really come into full effect yet at all. So, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. I can't really give you a prediction. So, if I was to give you a bold prediction, I would say the Lakers are going to head into the Western Conference Finals or get some other team from the West, maybe. I can't tell. Maybe Denver, maybe Houston, maybe Golden State if they get help their players back. Now, if Kawhi Leonard stays, in which I think he will stay, I don't know why he would leave. It would be Toronto versus Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals, most likely, because Milwaukee's going to get better, and possibly Philadelphia. Philadelphia was a very scary team. This Philadelphia team pushed the Raptors to 7 games.
Yeah, and just sometimes it's just a couple. That would have made the difference between one team or the other making it to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like really close. So honestly, it's a coin flip of what could have been, mm-hmm. could have been. So let's go overview teams across, the NBA. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at the Thunder. How do you think they're going to do next year? How do you think they're going to bounce back?
Well, the Thunder, the Thunder, that depends on how they are transitioning. I think Russell Westbrook needs to figure out a way to change his game up because consistently every year they keep losing in the second round. And he is just not helping that case whenever they play. It's mm-hmm. They just don't win. They don't have enough. I think their biggest problem is they don't have
that. They lost 4-1 to Portland in the first round. That's a big, big. A big thing, right? So
that's a big red flag.
And it was just the first round, right? So people expected them to like go at least to the conference finals, right?
Second or conference.
Yeah. So there was a big letdown. Russell Westbrook kind of like stereotyping his own narrative in a way. Basically, yes. Fulfilling a stereotype of what everyone's tends to like. Portray him as is this guy who's not really a leader and more of just a guy who shoots like crazy and fills the stat sheet up.
Also, Russell's a great point guard on the end of the day.
Yeah, so like I think it's hard to compare in today's NBA because there's just so much talent. But I think Russell Westbrook, if this was like he played like this, but it was like 2006, 2007, and we were in the era of when one player dominated, it was a one player dominated league, right? He would succeed a lot in that type of league, but like he would still have that one or two other superstars there to help him out. But he would succeed more in that league because it's less, you know, 3-point shooting and more like driving in and kicking it to your, or, you know, alley-ooping it to your big man. As opposed to today's league where we're on the perimeter a little more, and Russell Westbrook tends to have these streaks where his shooting is just very sporadic on the outside. And since his shooting is so sporadic, you tend to, you know, see sometimes the worst versions of him down the stretch where he just starts chucking shots up. Because he's trying to, you know, just get anything to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically forcing the issue.
So,
that's my thoughts on Russell Westbrook. But overall, I think he's definitely one of the greatest players in history. I think he's in the wrong, you know, kind of like NBA era. Like, it's not his play style per se, I think. But I do think he's a freak of nature. But in any other era, he's like wins a couple of championships, you know. But just the way this era is with the perimeter shooting, and the way, you know, bigger players are tending to control the ball, right? You look at Kevin Durant, you look at LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, all big dudes who can control the ball from the perimeter. But the main thing is that they can control the flow of the game. And if you can control the flow of the game, that takes, you know, a lot of the pressure away. But, yeah, so that's one team we're looking at. What about, like, Houston? You know, Houston had a shot to beat the Warriors. They lost to Golden State 4-2. What do you think? Do you think beating, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a broken record at this point. Houston always loses to Golden State for some reason. Do you think they can ever get past them here? Do you think, or is it just like, you know, there are some rumors, I think Chris is no longer going to sign back? Or is this, you know, this?
Well, Chris Paul is on a deal right now. He can't leave. He's fed up with the team, as reported from ESPN. Okay. I've heard that, what is it called? Him and James Harden are clashing with each other and tensions are rising. That's what I've heard. The problem with Houston is that they just simply, when you play in the playoffs, right, James Harden is the primary scorer of the team. And when you play one guy that only tries to score, you're going to lose every game, right? So the narrative of hearing when you say, well, the Houston Rockets last year had the opportunity to beat the Golden State Warriors, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they set a league record in threes and missing threes. Was it 27 threes missed in a playoff game? That's when I don't want to hear Chris Paul was injured, because, you know, that team had a chance easily making it to the finals. They only lost by 10 points.
But definitely, and this no year, excuses Kevin, for that. I think, you know, Chris Paul has definitely, you know, been blamed a lot for certain events. Especially, like, we can't blame someone mm-hmm. when he's injured. And people just like to tend to like ignore the minor instances.
But this year, Kevin Durant was injured for the Golden State Warriors, and this is the same Houston team that was from last year. This Houston team, the
21. What you're trying to say?
Yeah, this Houston team should have beaten the Warriors. It just gave more of a reason on why I said this team is not. No offense to James Harden, man, but he's not a play. The way his play style is, he won't ever win a ring like that. And, you know, a lot of players have said it. Kobe Bryant has said it. A lot of Tracy McGrady has said it. You know, they've said it. You can't only have one guy trying to score the ball. You got to be able to facilitate and play around. And that's the problem with Mike D'Antoni. He has that one system player's like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to play around you. But in reality, when you play against, like, the Golden State Warriors, you got to play against Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Andre Iguodala, Klay Thompson. Kevin Looney, DeMarcus Cousins, Quinn Cook, McKinney, like all those guys, right? That you have to face all those guys. With the Rockets, they have Eric Gordon. They have all these great players. They have Trevor Ariza, I think. Did they still have Trevor Ariza? Let me double check on
that. Yeah, I believe so. No, I should.
I think they lost him. I think they lost.
Yeah, they did.
That might be a factor. They said that they might have lost. But they have all these great shooters, and they don't utilize them in the playoffs, and that's the biggest problem.
Well, one thing I remember is the court does kind of shrink in the playoffs, right? So certain things you might want to do with your shooters, but you're not getting the same opportunities in the playoffs because people aren't as lax. I agree, but
Eric Gordon was a six-man year candidate, man. If you can't get him going, there's a problem. You got Austin Rivers, a very solid backup point guard in this league. Well, that could easily play well.
Even if you look at, I'm looking at it right now, he got a bunch of shots up. He's just missing a lot. I'm looking at it right now, how many shots he took. One of the games he played in against the Warriors, he went 5 for 14, 6 for 17. And then he had one good game, which was 4 for 10. But, he got his shots up. He just never really got going.
No, the thing is, when you shoot him, right? So I want to ask you a question, right? How can you get into a rhythm of a game if you don't get the ball enough in certain spurts, right? So let's say you shoot 3 shots per quarter. That's not going to get you into a rhythm.
So you think, for Eric Gordon, 14 and 17 shots is not a lot?
No, what I'm saying is she needs to get the ball more consistently when it comes down to putting up more shots, right? So right, he shoots 4 shots per...
James Harden on the team, and when you have, Chris Paul, how can you do that? Sometimes it's just not possible because when you have 2 superstars on a team, the role players won't get that much. So that's what I'm trying to say, right? It might be the logical, decision-making process, or it might be the best logical decision to be concluded at. But, can it really be?
That depends on the situation you're in. And honestly, they need to the biggest problem with Houston is they don't utilize their players to the fullest extent. It's been proven multiple times by their seasons. What happens when you only ask one guy to score the damn ball? And yeah, go get 50. It hasn't worked. It's helped them get out the first round. I mean, give them props for that. They get out the first round. They're like the Wizards in that sense. They get out the first round, but they can't go anywhere farther after that.
Right, but even if you look at the T-Mac era, they never got past the first round, right? So it's just been a reoccurring thing with Houston since the 90s, right? And I think it was in the 90s when they won the championship too, right?
Yeah, 19. Yeah. That's when Michael Jordan was in playing, where Hakeem Olajuwon won when Michael Jordan played baseball for 2 years.
Right, and
but the thing is, with Tracy McGrady's injuries set him back though. So set back Tracy McGrady's.
So they had
career.
2 championships, and it was in '94 and '95. So the years where basically NBA was gone, they destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so now that we have the scope of the NBA cover, what do you think about the Raptors win?
What do I think?
Yeah, harmful for the NBA for the Raptors to win, or
it's not harmful. It's great.
Okay, explain. What do you think? How do you think it benefits the NBA?
Because you have a whole country rooting for a team. For profitize more, you get more profit from the team, and then on top of it, you get more. It's more infectious, you start getting the word around and it becomes more global. I think it's good because when you see one team win consistently, it gets boring. And, this is the first time in a while that this finals has had parity, unlike the last two, except for 2016's finals, which was incredible. Probably my favorite finals to ever see was that 2016 when the Cavs beat the Warriors. But, this finals had parity. We all know that if the healthy Golden State Warriors were playing, they would have slapped the hell out of the Raptors. But unfortunately, they didn't get. They weren't at 100%. But overall, I think it's helped. It's helped the league. I think Kawhi Leonard should stay. I think Kyle Lowry has proved many people wrong in the sense that he can't score in the fourth quarter. I think he's better than John Wall. He's proved his point that he's better than John Wall now. And
you're saying Kyle Lowry is better than John.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's like a relevant point to make, because John Wall's never played with a Kawhi Leonard or a LeBron James or any of these, you know, transcendent type of players, because that you can't really say that because he hasn't been carried to that point. Does that make sense?
I agree, but I disagree.
I don't think that's like a valid criticism of John Wall, because he hasn't been in a position like that. You know? Kyle Lowry had many opportunities to get to that point without Kawhi Leonard. He failed every time. So don't even say that, because like John Wall could have easily gone off in one of those games as an add-on to Kawhi Leonard. It's just an irrelevant thing to make, because that's like saying, you know, because one random player like Dellavedova or whatever popped off one game, he's all of a sudden the better player. Does that make sense? All right.
No, I just believe that Kyle Lowry is just a better point guard overall than John Wall.
Point guard, I mean, but like, if he's not even playing the point guard role, then how is he a better point guard? That's what I'm trying to say.
He is playing the point guard role. He passes, he defends, he shoots.
Yeah,
he
but scores. Like, but he's not really playing, like, you know, he's not really playing the general point guard position where, you know, you're bringing the ball up the court. Sometimes he's doing that, but like a lot of times he's not really controlling the flow of the game. That's Kawhi Leonard who's controlling the flow of the game. I would argue he's more like the point forward. Kyle Lowry is more of the beneficiary, and that's why, since he's more of the beneficiary, you have those results. You see what I mean? I'm not saying Kyle Lowry is a bad player. I'm saying he's a good additional player to Kawhi Leonard. So that's how I'm making your point mute, why I think your point's mute about him being better than John Wall, because you can't really say that because John Wall hasn't encountered the same situations. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if John Wall was to have encountered said, you know, opportunities and failed, then it'd be different. And don't you think, even against Celtics, if John Wall had Kawhi Leonard, they would have won that game?
Well,
we would 100% won that game.
I think with the Wizards are cursed, so I don't believe that you guys would have won.
Yeah, and I used to kind of just buy into this curse thing just based off of, like, you know, the history of just over losing. But I obviously just a superstition type of thing, not really, like, realistic. But, like, then the Capitals won, so that just kind of, like, bust everything. Yeah, the Capitals won, so it's like all that's thrown out the window. When the Capitals won, that changed everything. But let's not get off topic. Overall, so the Raptors, you know, the main thing is, like, Kawhi Leonard, hopefully he signs there, but, like, if anything holds him back, I think it's going to be the taxes, right? Because your taxes, you get taxed more in Canada.
I don't know how it goes. I don't live in Canada, so I can't say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's not a good reason not to sign him. He made first team All NBA. He's won a championship.
If they can compensate the, you know, the amount of money lost. So let's say he loses like $3 or $4 million.
They're willing to give him a free condo and like free house, like a couple free houses in Canada.
Yeah. So like, if they're willing to do all that, but like I said, at the end of the day, it's his decision. What if like he has some family in some other state that he wants to be with? Yeah, he does
California. Or the Clippers.
Yeah, maybe they can just move to him.
Maybe. That depends.
So we'll see. Like did he say anything on free agency yet?
No, he hasn't.
All right. When does he have to make his decision? Do you know?
I don't know exactly what his decision is.
All right, let me look it up. Okay, so it's just speculation so far, but people are saying that them winning the championship was the blueprint to getting Kawhi to re-sign.
It was, definitely.
So we'll see what happens, honestly.
I mean, it looks like it's leaning towards the direction of Kawhi's signing, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, because like I get surprised all the time in the NBA and like all these leagues where crazy shit just happens and you're just like, what the hell? I didn't expect that to happen. So like, I wouldn't be totally surprised, but like at the same time, I'm expecting him to re-sign.
I expect him to re-sign also. I think it would make no sense if he didn't re-sign.
Yeah, so
I'd be shocked.
So clearly it was proven that Kawhi definitely made the Raptors into a better team. Like tenfold. So the people that were blaming the trade getting Masai rid of DeMar DeRozan, yeah, criticizing getting rid of DeMar DeRozan like that, are probably like, whatever, what can we do now? He was 100% right.
The thing is, the way they traded him was very it wasn't the best way of going about it.
But they knew that this was their chance and they had to do it. Because I bet you they were probably like the Spurs were probably hesitating or whatever, and they're probably, this was kind of like a spur of the moment agreement, and like if they didn't agree to it at that point or whatever, there was probably going to be like some sort of like, I mean, I have a feeling it's something like that, but that's just like guessing, but like if anything, that's what I would think. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Overall, the landscape of the NBA is looking pretty decent. With Anthony Davis coming to the NBA, I think that's going to be the Raptors. We'll see if the Raptors make it back. Actually, because I do think the Bucks, you know, might improve. So we'll see. The Bucks might improve. Giannis, you know, hopefully develops a little bit more. Mm-hmm. With the you know his jump shot particularly, if he can develop that somewhat, it'll improve his, you know, team's chances 100 times more. All right, and what's your surprise team you think for this next year coming up?
Surprise team?
And like do you think it's related to the draft?
No, because most of the good players. Well, this draft is pretty deep, I'll say that. And you know, I can't surprise team. It's like I said, it's kind of difficult to pick a team right now based off nothing has happened. Like free agency hasn't happened. Honestly, to having a great prediction, it would be based on free agency, because you know I can't say what anything is going to happen. A surprise team, most likely. I gotta think of the teams. I gotta see a team right now. Let me see. That's difficult to say. One second. Oh, this is it.
Oh, you don't just take a break in the middle of a podcast. You're supposed to speak.
I agree, but I can't think. Yeah, give me 1 second.
Okay, let's change the topic, right? Mm-hmm. To do something. I'm not trying to have you just look something up. That's funny. Like, you can look things up, but you have to be speaking in the meantime, you know? You can't just, like, shut up in the middle and be like, yeah, so you just shut up and look for the search something up for 5 minutes.
Yeah, the thing is, I can't find the NBA teams. NBA teams. Okay, I'm just trying to see. I'm looking at some of the. Oh, look, it says reporting are that. Okay, so a surprise team possibly could be. I think the Dallas Mavericks.
The Dallas Mavericks. Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah,
Boston. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Boston is going to be a surprising team this year simply because they had last year they had so many egos on that team because, you know, mm-hmm. You can't control what players are gonna. When you had a, for example, in Boston, I didn't know this because I picked last year. I picked Boston, the Boston Celtics, to make the NBA Finals. I did not know at the time that the amount of egos they had on their team and the amount of problems they had as a team. Because, you know, this is the same team that pushed LeBron to Game 7 at the Eastern Conference Finals. So I was like, you know what, Boston, you know, they have a good chance. They have a good chance of pulling something. Now I think they do. I think this team will be able to concentrate because Kyrie is a one-man show. And, you know, he's like, let me give me the ball and get out of my way. He has the same mentality as Kobe. And, you know, I think Boston will be a sleeper. Dallas would definitely be a sleeper. And also, I think the Denver Nuggets are a very good team too. Jamal Murray is getting better. Jokic is a beast. There is this one player on the Denver Nuggets that's really intriguing. His name is Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. was the best basketball high school player before he got injured. And if he can live up to what half he is, this team could be really deadly in the future. And this year.
Yeah, anything is open, you know, with a lot of these legendary players retiring. The floors, or, you know, everything's kind of just like clearing its way for the new generation to take over and kind of cement their legacies, because now the media will start finally paying attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do you think about the Wizards? Let's switch it up a little.
What do I think about the Washington Wizards?
Scott Brooks recently praised John Wall and Bradley Beal as great scouts. What do you think of this?
Great scouts?
Yeah. They're scouting. He basically said, when John – I'm going to read you, end quote. When John Wall's and Bradley Beal's are playing, days are over. Scott Brooks said, is you can call them up, and it could be any players, and they'll know – and be able to predict stuff about them, about their game or gameplay, or they predict like how they're going to do just by like how they're playing. They can scout it out perfectly.
What do you think of that? Well, I mean, I will say this: you guys are trying to improve. You know, John Wall's 28 years old. I'll say that. You know, very good point guard, very talented point guard. The biggest issue with the Washington Wizards that I've seen the last couple of years is that you guys can't get a superstar. You guys can't get that third player to cement yourself farther into the playoffs. And also, the year when John Wall was
a little hard because like the Wizards just have that stigma, you know, that was left behind from the Kwame years and the Michael Jordan years, and then also like the history of losing and. The guns thing that happened.
But what's the difference between you guys and the Knicks?
Right, but like we have won a championship in the 70s, so.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. What are the differences between you guys and the Knicks?
I mean, it's basically the same, except there's more drama with the Wizards.
No, that's actually not true.
I think New York just brings drama, but I don't think the Knicks necessarily are the drama. I think New York brings drama. I think the Wizards are the drama, though, but DC doesn't bring the drama to the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit different. It's like kind of weird way to explain it.
Mm-hmm. 1 second, I'll be right back.
All right. But it's actually been a good podcast. Let's cut it a little bit short today.
Will you be, I'll be
first podcast of the NBA.
So...
Yeah, this is the first podcast of Opposing Viewpoints. Today we discussed NBA topics. And yeah, we'll get back to it again tomorrow.
All right. Have a great night, man.